This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, March 19th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, legal issues in the news looks at intentional infliction of emotional distress. It's hard to prove in court, but not always that hard. We'll have a forecast for the week also with meteorologist Scott Olthoff. First, a look at today's news. A weekend of searching passed without signs of an 8-year-old boy from Normal, who disappeared last week after his grandfather's fishing boat went over a dam at Clinton Lake. Kaylin Hunter's grandfather and uncle were killed in the accident. Their bodies were found Thursday at the base of a spillway, one day after the boat was reported missing. Marceline Love is a spokesman for the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. She says a canine unit of 4 dogs joined the search yesterday but didn't find anything. Authorities scaled back the search for the boy last night and were able to pick up again this morning. Opening statements are scheduled to begin today at the trial of celebrity newspaper publisher Conrad Black. He's accused of stealing $84 million from the shareholders of his media company, Hollinger International. Diantha Parker has more.
At the end of last week, U.S. District Judge Amy St. Eve picked 20 prospective jurors. Today, she'll swear in 12 of them and 6 alternates and send home the other 2. During jury selection, a number of potential candidates said they were suspicious of how Black and businessmen like him earned so much money. But most said they could be impartial in this case. The charges against Black include mail and tax fraud, racketeering, and obstruction of justice. The trial is expected to last anywhere from 3 to 6 months. I'm Diantha Parker.
The deadline for the general election registration in Champaign County is approaching fast, as well as for the rest of the state. Voters can register until tomorrow afternoon to take part in the April 17th local elections. Champaign County Clerk Mark Sheldon says although about 150,000 people are already registered to vote in the county, he does not expect a high turnout.
In a local election, your elections often are driven by mayoral races and also driven by referenda. In Champaign and Urbana, we don't have those happening, and I think because of that, we're looking at not a whole lot of people choosing to go out and vote this election.
Sheldon says registered voters who have moved have to update their address with his office, otherwise they won't be able to vote. Absentee voting has already begun. A proposal to change how Illinois law views marriage is expected to be debated this week at the state capitol. The measure would allow same-sex civil unions to have the same rights and responsibilities as heterosexual marriages. Krista Kukowski has more.
Democratic State Representative Greg Harris is the only openly gay lawmaker in the state legislature. He's sponsoring a plan to essentially allow same-sex couples the same legal standing as marriages between a man and a woman. It would require a same-sex couple to go through a civil union. Harris says it's time.
I've had people from across the state saying, could I look at this cause and see if there was a way to get their families the same protections that other families in Illinois had.
But David Smith of the Illinois Family Institute says it's bad public policy. And if couples want benefits, there is another way.
They have the same rights as I do to marry a person of the opposite sex. Talking about true diversity. You know, marry the opposite sex. That's what the government and our laws and marriage has always been about, opposite sex.
The sponsor of the plan says his proposal would not allow same-sex couples to file their tax returns together, but it will allow pension benefits, visitation rights to children, and allow them to be involved in decisions after a partner's death. I'm Krista Kukowski.
Illinois homeowners with certain types of septic systems could find themselves paying to have them inspected each year under a bill in the General Assembly. Sean Crawford has that story.
The Illinois EPA is moving ahead on a plan that would force people to retrofit their surface discharging septics. The systems would have to undergo annual testing, and it could prove costly. Septic installer Jess James of Dietrich says it's unnecessary.
This is not a significant health issue that anybody has any major concerns about, since there is not any documented cases of anybody ever getting sick based on a surface discharging system.
But others say too many of the systems are failing, dumping sewage into nearby lakes, streams, and other people's land. Albert Ettinger with the Environmental Law and Policy Center.
So these are systems that work pretty well as long as you don't check them.
Tens of thousands of residents across the state are estimated to have the surface discharging systems. Most are in areas where there's no access to sanitary sewers, so people would have no option but to pay up to $500 a year more for testing. State lawmakers are looking at ways to help, such as only requiring tests for those where the sewage leaves the property. I'm Sean Crawford.
Construction has already begun, but a groundbreaking ceremony will be held today for a Honda Auto Assembly Plant in Greensburg, Indiana. Governor Mitch Daniels will join company officials in the ceremony at the community about 50 miles southeast of Indianapolis. The plant will employ 2,000 people when it ramps up to full production capacity in 2008. Honda will bring some workers on board this year, but the majority of hiring will take place next year. Greensburg beat out Fithia in Illinois and other sites for the new plant, which is expected to produce 200,000 cars a year and supply 80% of the vehicles Honda sells in North America. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Intentional infliction of emotional distress is frequently a tort that lawyers include in lawsuits at the last minute, because in many jurisdictions it's tough to prove, but not always. Here's commentator Amy Guida with this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
When's the last time you heard something that caused you to exclaim, "Outrageous"? That's a legal question, really. There's a tort called intentional infliction of emotional distress. It's defined as extreme and outrageous conduct that intentionally or recklessly causes severe emotional distress to another. There are some other elements, and they vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, but that's a fairly common definition. It's said that if the scenario causes an average member of the community to exclaim, "Outrageous," then the element of extreme and outrageous conduct is met. Yes, I went to law school for this. Here's an outrageous story for you. As I write this, a teenager in Minnesota is recovering emotionally from the loss of her dog. She says that he ran off several weeks ago, and she posted missing posters and searched the local animal shelter. She had no idea where he was until someone enclosed the dog's head in a gift-wrapped package left on her porch. She says that a tag on the outside of the package read, "Congratulations," and that the package also contained candy. It's not yet clear who did it, police say, although they believe that the perpetrator knows the teen's family. Officers have called the act extraordinarily heinous, horrible, and a level of depravity beyond belief. One officer said it took his breath away. No one used the word "outrageous" in the stories I've read, but they really didn't need to. On these facts, the word might not be strong enough. In fact, an authoritative legal guide uses the killing of a pet dog under certain circumstances as an example of outrageousness. Aside from the horrific way in which this teen apparently learned of her pet's death, courts have written that affection of a master for his dog is a very real thing, and the malicious destruction of the pet provides an element of damage for which the owner should recover. That's from a case in which the dogs were shot. Other courts have called it an enlightened view that we allow recovery for emotional distress in the instance of a malicious destruction of a pet, because the malicious behavior is directed to the owner as well as to the pet, with the potential for serious emotional injury to the owner being readily apparent. And that's in cases where there's no additional element of nastiness, like leaving the dog's body, or worse, part of it, wrapped on the owner's porch. So if the perpetrator is found, the teenager may want to consider a lawsuit based on intentional infliction of emotional distress. But that's likely to be the least of the villain's legal woes. Those officers who said that they find the act heinous, they're looking into criminal charges. And a Minneapolis paper reported that homicide investigators are on the case because of the implied terroristic threat. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. Spring arrives this week, and we have very spring-like weather, seasonable weather in our forecast. Our meteorologist, Scott Althoff, calls for scattered showers and thunderstorms today, mostly cloudy sky in the two-state area. Most of the showers and thunderstorms happening in the morning. The highs today ranging from 44 in northeast Indiana to 62 in the far south. Becoming partly cloudy tonight with lows from 23 degrees in the far north to 45 south. And for tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny again, and highs ranging from 42 near the Chicago lakefront to 58 degrees in southern Illinois and Indiana. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Monday, March 19th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.